Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the WCCN Radio Tent. We are live on Memories 1370 AM WCCN for this morning's church service from the Clark County Fair. The radio broadcast portion of this worship service is sponsored by Bob and Lorraine Shaw in honor of their 70th wedding anniversary and given to the glory of God by Mary Beth Schultz in honor of their new grandson, Eden Schultz.
Good morning. There I go. Welcome. Welcome to our service here with Calvary, Zion, Pine Valley, and United Church of Christ, all in Neillsville. And want to say we're glad you're here, and also a welcome to our radio audience. Want to make one announcement that affects our community. This week is our Memory Cafe, I believe. It's the third Thursday? Yes, right? So it's our Memory Cafe, and it's going to be on healthy eating, the colors of our plate. It's at 10 o'clock on Thursday morning at UCC in our lower level. Everyone is invited, and I have figured out that everybody and anybody comes. One doesn't have to have memory concerns, nor does anyone have to be a caregiver, though some caregivers come, some. Just anyone who would like to is welcome to come, and so we want to really make that available to all. With that, are there other announcements that need to be made? Let us worship the Lord our God, and we're going to invite you to remain seated as much as you'd like. Okay. Let us call one another to worship. We have been drawn from our homes and churches to come to be in the community at the Clark County Fair.
As we worship God together, may this place become holy ground where we become one with Christ and with one another.
May our words and deeds bring the grace and peace of Jesus into our community.
Thank you.
join together in the litany for fair time. We are God's beloved children, called to be imitators of God and followers of Jesus Christ, building up the body of Christ. At the Clark County Fair, we encounter friends and strangers, some hurrying from one event to another, and others open to conversation as they wait for the next class that catches their interest.
May we be kind to one another, tender-hearted,
Here we sit at picnic tables, eating our favorite fair foods, supporting organizations that benefit our community. We meet traveling carnival workers hoping to earn enough to put food on their tables.
May we be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven us.
Here conversations take place with judges and competitors. Youth are guided by 4-H and FFA leaders and helped by parents, siblings, and friends.
May we be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven us.
Here there is laughter and tears, pride and disappointment, anger, weariness, excitement, and fear.
May we be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven us. Here we can practice being who God has called us to be. Here we can strive to be imitators of God and followers of Jesus Christ.
From here we can take what we have practiced, the communities where we live, society, work, and play, places where kindness, tender hearts, and forgiveness are also needed.
I've got a spot. You can sit on the front row, or you can sit on the blanket. Come on up. Is there only one coming up? Really? Oh, come on. Augie, just have a seat. Why don't you sit right there? You can sit on the rug, or you can sit over here. Why don't you? Okay. All right, we can do this. Come on up here. So I learned something watching the pig show this week. It was very interesting. One of our families had 8 pigs, and one of those pigs died. So that meant they had 7 pigs. And then they brought 6 pigs to the fair. So that left one pig to stay at home. Right? Okay. You older kids, did I get the math right? Okay. So what I learned is that one pig does not do very well. Pigs need to have another pig with them. Otherwise, they don't eat as well. So when one pig sees another one eating, they both eat. When one pig sees another pig wallowing or getting into the mud to cool off, they both do that. So what one pig does, the other one also does. That's an important thing to know. So with that important information, I want us to think about how we are in community ourselves. So what I noticed this year is when the pigs all went out into the show arena, they were mostly good pigs. None of them went running all over the place. In some years, that happens. And when one runs, they seem to all run. But this year, they all seemed to stay where they were supposed to with their 4-H and FFA people, okay, with their owners. I think that's true for us, too. I think when we behave, when we do what is right, other people also begin to do what is right. When we are naughty, a lot of times other people are also naughty. I think that really happens in a classroom sometimes. The teachers maybe can help me. So when one student or several students are naughty, then a whole bunch of kids get naughty in the classroom. But when one student is kind and the other students see that, then they can also begin to be kind. That's what happens when we're together. And I want you to think, Augie, you're going to go into, is it kindergarten this year? Or 4K? Kindergarten. You're going to be in kindergarten. And some of the rest of you are going to school again too this year? Yeah, did I see that? Okay. I wonder if you and all of us wherever we are, if we show kindness, at school, at play, on Facebook and Twitter, I wonder if we show kindness if others might not also learn from us. Besides that, being kind and showing love to one another is one of the things that we do as Christians. And I think that when we do that, we kind of shape the community. Think that's an important thing to do? That when you're good, that maybe others are also good? You think that might happen? I think it might, sometimes. Okay. Augie, I'd like to have a prayer at the end of my time with children. Can we pray together? Dear God, can we close our eyes? Dear God, we thank you for our friends and for the pigs and all the animals who teach us lessons. Help us to be kind to one another, to be friends with one another, and to know that we can help one another so that our world is a better place. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Woo! There's an extra step. Okay, you want to go back to your mom?
The first lesson is a reading from 1 Kings. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God, the word of the Lord. The second lesson is a reading from Ephesians. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from all your bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel for this day is from the 6th chapter of John. Jesus said to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, "I have come down from heaven"? Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God, and everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone who has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Pray that the words that we speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you hear that which is intended for your ears this day. Let us pray for a moment. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Case in point. Did I not just say that when one does, the other does? So Pastor Chad goes up on the stage, followed by the young one that I was just speaking to. Case in point. Proved it. So these three texts are about relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with one another, relationship with Jesus. In each of these texts, the communities are in trouble, needing some guidance to restore relationship. Yet these words do not speak only to the relationships long ago. They also speak to us today as we shape our communities. You may remember the story where Elijah challenged the 450 prophets of God, their God, Baal, to a contest between the God of Israel and Baal. Each god was to send fire upon the sacrifice that the prophets were offering. All would know the true God when the contest was complete. The prophets of Baal prayed to their God to send fire, but nothing happened. Elijah, just to make it a little tougher for the God of Israel, added water on the bull and on the wood. And when he prayed, the God of Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, and Rachel sent fire to burn up not only the offering, but also the water around the trench surrounding it. All the people of Israel again bowed down to the Lord God. And Elijah, well, he ordered that all the prophets of Baal be rounded up and killed. Of course, Queen Jezebel, who had also worshipped Baal, was furious and announced within 24 hours Elijah's life would also be like that of the prophets of Baal. So he was going to be killed as well. Elijah ran for his life, terrified, overwhelmed with fear, anxiety, and depression. He prayed to the Lord to take his life. He was done with his relationship with God. He no longer wanted anything to do with God. I think we can understand. At times, we've done what we thought God wanted us to do. We've had our prayers answered, but then life has turned out for the worse for a time. We know our dairy farmers have had times of success, followed by wind, drought, too much rain, poor prices. And many of them prayed and things have indeed improved. In fact, times were good just a few years ago, but now life is again hard. And we hear every day of another farmer who quits farming, and there are more farmers dying by suicide than veterans. We know not only do farmers have a tough time. I understand that while unemployment has decreased in Wisconsin, childhood poverty has increased. I often hear, too, of personal challenges that seem too great to bear. Illness, grief, school bullies, bills piling up. I think this story of Elijah struggling to find hope and to remain in relationship with God, even after experiencing a close relationship with God for months or years, is true for many of us in our community. Sometimes we too want to sit under the broom tree, upset with the Lord our God. The story of Elijah praying that his life be taken does not end there, though. Asleep, God works to restore relationship with him. God takes the initiative. God feeds him again and strengthens him for the rest of the journey of his life, a journey that will help shape the community to again worship the Lord God. I think God still does that. I think God still sends what we need to save us from being overwhelmed by our troubles. It's not all up to us. However, we do need to be open to what God offers. God wants to be in relationship with us and will nourish us with whatever is needed so that we can again shape the community God desires in our world.
Being in relationships. It's a lot easier said than done for most of us. Just starting relationships can be really hard for some of us. Finding friends or dates or mates offers varying levels of difficulty. And then once we form those relationships, those we choose, those we're born into, then even more difficult moments can and do happen. For reality, life sets in. And I think in part that's what Paul is speaking to in Ephesians this morning as he calls us closer to our Christian calling. He says, put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. I want that to sink in for just a moment. Now all of our minds may be going to different aspects of life and relationship. Maybe some very real things happening in your personal lives. Or for some of you, thinking about larger issues, maybe beyond your own personal lives to the things going on in the world around us. And I think it's okay to be thinking about all those things. In fact, I hope we are thinking about many different things this morning. Because maybe that will get some new conversations going, or new practices followed, and new relationships formed. Putting away bitterness, anger, slander, being kind, tender, forgiving. What a world that would be. And guess what? That's what God in Christ wants for us and from us and for the world. Just as Pastor Jacobo was getting at a few moments ago. Now, for some of us, Paul's words might seem a bit like law for us, listing all these things to do. But I really think that it's gospel. I think they're words of freedom. They free us from holding on to those things that ultimately hurt us and the people we might be treating in certain ways. Now, I have a family member, one that I love very much, who has told others in our family that he wishes I would get a little ornery once in a while and stop trying to make everyone happy. Now, when I first heard him saying this about me, I wasn't really liking the idea. But as I've thought about it more, I realized I don't think his intent was that I should get ornery or mad or start yelling or show anger more. Instead, I think his intent was that I try to free myself from trying to make everything good for everyone in the family, or maybe in other situations too. For him, I think he was seeing that I was trying to put too much pressure on myself and in the end trying to do the impossible. And I think most of us have been there at different points in life. But maybe that's how we can look at other things too. Maybe that's how we can look at bitterness and anger and all these other things that Paul lists. That to put those things down, to free ourselves of such things, that is what will free us to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to forgive more freely, to live as God in Christ has called us.
It gives me hope when reading the hard expectations of Ephesians 4 to also know that I am loved as I try, fail, and try again to be faithful. In my words, actions, personal relationships, church relationships, and within the wider community, even on social media. The writer encourages us to be imitators of God. My hunch is, I'm not the only one that falls short of this goal. I'm grateful that in the same sentence we are described as beloved children. Children of God. And then as we are encouraged to live in love, we're again reminded that Christ has loved us. And as we are called to forgive, we are reminded that Christ has forgiven us. You're right, Pastor Chad. When we hear these hard expectations of how to speak and live, we need that gospel love. We need to remember that we are loved by God and Jesus Christ, and then to move again. What I caught, though, also in our reading is that we put away falsehood speak the truth, labor and work honestly, refrain from evil talk, put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and malice, because God has brought us together. We are members of one another. We are to work hard and honestly so that we can help our neighbors. Our words are to build up one another and offer grace to one another. The kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness we're to offer one another is because our task is to shape the communities of our lives. We do these things because we are in relationship with God, with a God who loves us and feeds us, calls us to be in community with one another.
Shaping community, as we're thinking about this morning, it's good to be reminded of what all that entails, this idea of shaping communities. First, I think it's about how we are shaped, how we are formed as people and as communities. And this comes through that relationship with God and Christ and this journey of faith that is personal and very unique for each of us. It comes through the communities we're a part of, families, friends, churches, civil organizations, workplaces, and even our time alone. Because I think you name it, we are shaped by those places and people and moments, whatever they look like. Second, this is about how we help shape the world around us. And I don't think that means that we try to force others to be like us. Instead, I think this is about the examples we show in how we live, how we treat others, and how Christ has changed our lives. Shaping communities, responding to the bread of life, to Jesus Christ, and to how much we are loved. So how are we doing at that? How are we responding on a daily basis and in the familiar and in the ordinary? It can be really easy to ignore what's going on around us or even to us as we get bogged down by the mundane and even by the stressful parts of life. For we often want to cut ourselves off from pain, to avoid the things that hurt us and simply do what's necessary to make it, to survive. And I think that's one of the ways that we try to live by bread alone, to ignore those things, and in doing so, allowing those difficult things to take over our lives, even if we don't realize it's what's happening. And in doing so, also ignoring the call to respond to faith through the good and the tough times of life. For like many in Jesus' time, I think we struggle to see the bigger picture. We don't always see the connection between daily bread and eternal bread, between daily life and a life of faith. The result is that we're like everyone else in the world. We have little to say to the world about what Christ can change in the world. We can help bring that presence of Christ to the world, but we don't always see that as our job, as our role. Sometimes we might doubt that God is really at work in this world, in the familiar, and in our daily lives. We don't always see how the daily events and relationships of our lives can be bearers of Jesus Christ. And so we eat the manna. We receive food and housing and jobs and children and grandchildren, but we don't always see the miracle that they are. We don't see them as gifts of God's grace. We don't see them as bearers of God's kingdom to us. We don't see God working through these things to give us life. In my last parish, there was a woman dying from cancer. She had a large tumor on her neck. It was inoperable, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. Her and her husband were in their 80s, and he was spending most of the time taking care of her in those days. Their children and grandchildren were able to come and visit quite a bit in those last few weeks. When I would go visit, she would make sure she was up from her bed or chair and walk to the kitchen table to sit with me. Now, she'd be there before I even got to the door. She wanted to have some normal in those days, and the kitchen is where she wanted to entertain people, no matter what. Now, I knew she was in a lot of pain. She was not doing well, but she always told me that she felt great, and she had a smile on her face. And she was constantly telling me how lucky she was. She was able to think and talk and spend time with family and friends. She was looking back at the blessings that she'd had in life, and she was looking in the current, in the midst of dying, and still seeing all the goodness that life gives us. Her name was Doris, and Doris saw and understood and believed that God was gifting her up until the very end of her earthly life, that his kingdom had already come into her life, even in the middle of this suffering and death. I'm not sharing that story to try to have us compare our lives to one another, not at all. It was but a glimpse into a final period of life for one woman in faith named Doris. Instead, I think it's a reminder for all of us that at any time in life, at any point in this journey of faith, we have the opportunity to respond to Jesus by giving thanks for the gifts we have received and by sharing the gifts that God has given us. To shape community, to be a part of that in any way, at any moment. May Jesus help us to see in the midst of our ordinary lives how we might respond to God's love for us in such important ways every day. May we be freed from the weight of the world around us, separated from the power of sin and death, and drawn away from bitterness and anger and hatred. I pray this day that we may be centered in kindness, be tender-hearted, forgive more freely, and love more readily. In Jesus Christ, amen.